This is the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach.
Welcome to the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. I am your host, Reverend Jack Cook, and we're so grateful and honored to be in your company again today. We thank you for logging in, for tuning in, indeed, into this Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. Our goal, our charge, our desire is that you may indeed have that saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have, for the past few segments, if you've been with us, we've been looking and delving into the Gospel of St. John. And today we want to continue in that. Today we are blessed to conclude our topic of the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, a manifestation of the Son of God. And that moved us from the first chapter, verse 35, all the way to this 12th chapter that we will looking into today, and we'll be expounding upon what the Lord, what the Holy Spirit may speak into our knowing, our understanding of this divine and inspired and holy writ of the Gospel of St. John. But first and most of all, we want to take now and take this time to consecrate and dedicate this unto the Lord in prayer, as is ours to do on each segment. So Father, we indeed do thank you, Lord. We do bless you. We do exalt you and praise your holy name this day. Lord God, here am I, Lord. Pray, Lord God, that you indeed will come into this place, come into this room, Lord God, this hour, Lord, and have your way. Lord God, we pray you'll speak through your servant into the ear of all that providentially, Lord God, will have an ear to hear it, this work for your glory. We pray, we lift it up to you, we consecrate it to you. We pray you be glorified in it, Lord God. We bless you today and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings, Lord, seen and unseen, in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Amen and amen. Concluding this topic, this third topic that we raise out of the Gospel of John, if you recall, we first looked at the revelation, and that was in chapter 1, the revealing of the Son of God. And then we looked at the proclamation, and that being of the great prophet of John, amen, John the Baptist, as we call him, amen, the proclamation of the Son of God, the Lamb of God, verses chapter 1, verses 15 to 34. And then we looked into, began to dig into the manifestation of the Son of God, and looking into Jesus and his public ministry. Amen. You know, we too have, while we may have a private, our relationship with the Lord our God may be private, indeed it is also public. For aren't we his witnesses in the world? Amen. And so we can't put our witness and our testimony, and we cannot put our Christian life under a rock, amen, to be hid. But we indeed have to, we have to allow it to be revealed by God, the Holy Spirit, as a light, amen, into this dark world. For indeed, we are the children of light. And we will kind of expound and lift this matter of the light, if you will, moving into this this chapter here. Amen. Again, because the Lord actually talked about, he raised that over and over again, actually. And you remember he spoke last segment in chapter 11, how that he must work, that he indeed was the light. I mean, he spoke with his disciples and said that indeed he is the light of the world. He actually said in verses 11, chapter 11, verses 9, he talked about, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Is no light in him, not on him. Amen. Amen. And we raised that observation the last time. And again, he speaks to it again. But today, and again, we're concluding this topic of the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, the manifestation, amen, as he's on his way, hallelujah, to Calvary, bless God, amen. And so, chapter 12, here we look to the text that says unto us, then Jesus 6 days before the Passover, hallelujah. Now, this is why you can't run past the Word of God. You can't run past the text in Scripture too fast. We have to indeed be like Sherlock Holmes, and we have to dig into the Word of God. We have to look it literally at every jot and tittle in the Word to lift these nuggets, to lift this Word, to lift this revelation, what the Holy Spirit is teaching us, amen, as we go. And so the Holy Spirit marked for us this very significant point that indeed this was 6 days before the Passover. So then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, hallelujah, where Lazarus was. Where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he, that is the Lord our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, have raised from the dead. Ah, glory, glory, hallelujah. Raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper. And Martha served. My. That was Martha's thing. That was her ministry. Amen. She's consistent. Amen. Well, he's in our house. Amen. She is the host. Amen. And she is a gracious host, amen, and she always sought to minister to the temporal, the earthly needs of our Lord, for indeed, he indeed was the God, is the God-man, amen, and he indeed he had and temporal and earthly needs just like we do today, hallelujah, yet indeed, he indeed is God in the flesh, hallelujah, bless you, Jesus, hallelujah. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Hallelujah. This Lazarus, amen, whom he had raised from the dead. He wasn't raised a zombie. He wasn't raised some type of freak. He wasn't raised some type of robot. Amen. Lazarus wasn't overstanding in the corner. Amen. Like a statue. But Lazarus had full faculty, amen, of his being, amen. Lazarus ate, slept, and walked and felt just like he did before he died, amen. See, when the Lord does a thing, he does it completely. When the Lord does a thing, he does it fully. He indeed, not only that, but I submit to you, he does it exceeding abundantly, amen. Hallelujah, bless you, Lord. And so here's the picture. Here they are at the table, amen. And Martha is preparing to be served. Now, in the Eastern culture, their idea was a table. It's not our what we picture, what we utilize in the Western culture, where we have tall chairs that that we sit our feet, our legs and feet are under the table. But in Eastern culture, even to this day, amen, traditionally and quite often, more often than not, it is a low table. It is generally a round table, and the participants, the guests, amen, when they dine, they are reclining around that table, amen. And so that's kind of the picture. They're in this room. Also bear in mind that in Eastern culture, when a prominent guest or someone came to town, the community was quite open, amen, and folk went in and out of one another's home all the time, and it was not unusual for a prominent guest, when they were in town, to not only the occupants of the home to be there, but the room was oftentimes filled with onlookers or guests or the curious or just the community, amen, in the room. They may not have participated in the dining, but they were there to hear and to partake and to behold the activity of what was going on at that time. And so the testimony here in Scripture is that at this point, and I like, and if you notice, John is very specific about who it was and who and what it was and how much it was here in this great testimony of the woman, as Matthew and Mark call it. They really didn't identify who it was, but John is quite specific. John says, then in verse 3, then took Mary, amen, Mary, one of the three, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This extravagant love, this extravagant act, amen, was demonstrated upon the Lord our God, the Lord Jesus, and she gave of her substance, amen, amen. I think in one text in Matthew or Mark, it talked about how this was worth a year's salary, amen. It was very expensive, amen. It was not cheap, hallelujah, amen. And she took it, amen, and she took this extravagant demonstration of her love of the Lord, and she poured it upon him and wiped his feet with her hair. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. And I submit to you that the odor from this ointment, hallelujah, this ointment, this costly ointment, amen, this scent stayed with him all throughout his ordeal, amen. It stayed with him, hallelujah, on Friday, hallelujah. It stayed with him on Friday night. It stayed with him on Saturday, hallelujah. It stayed with him on Saturday night and early Sunday morning, hallelujah. It was there with him when he rose, hallelujah, from the graves. Ah, bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Verse 4. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, amen, Simon's son, who should betray him. Hallelujah. Again, very specific. Amen. And we all know the story of Judas Iscariot nowadays. Amen. It's been well talked about and well preached about and well expounded through the ages. Amen. Judas Iscariot, amen, amen, who should betray him, raised this question: why was not this ointment sold for 300? He already knew the price. He already had put a tag on it, amen. He had already priced it down. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 denarii, amen, or 300 pence, amen, and given to the poor? And then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, hallelujah, and had the bag and bore what was put in it, amen. That's his motive. That's his incentive, amen. Amen. Have you ever thought how interesting it is how that our Lord, who indeed knew the heart of Judas from the beginning, amen, knew the heart of Judas, amen, before he laid eyes on him, and how that he knew, amen, that Judas was a thief, amen, and that Judas was greedy, hallelujah, and he knew that Judas would betray him, but yet, hallelujah, not only did he make him, chose him, amen. Not only did he choose him as one of the 12, amen, but he gave him the bag, amen, to keep. My. This is powerful. Hallelujah. Let me share something with you, my brothers and sisters. Amen. You are the head and not the tail. You to have authority, amen. You, no one can hurt you. No one can do anything to you, amen. As a child, that you ought not let them do, amen. And that's the thing about love. Nobody can love you unless you let them, amen. Nobody can come in to your life unless you let them. And that's the risk we take. That's the risk we take with love. Amen. And we all take that risk. Amen. Amen. It wasn't even a risk with Lord. He already knew it. Amen. But you have to know that that's the power of love. And so that you ought to always know that no one can control you. Hallelujah. No man ought ever be able to control you, but you ought to do what you do, amen, because you choose to do as a child of God, hallelujah, amen. And so that ought to free you to be willing and able to always be quick to forgive, amen, quick to forgive, amen, because you are the head, again, and not the tail. You are above, and you are not beneath, amen. So hold your head up and raise your head up. And if you're not willing to allow that young man or that young woman to take that risk to love them, then you ought not love them, amen. You ought not love them, hallelujah. You ought to be discernible enough, and you ought to be wise enough. You have to be strong enough, amen, to say no. But if you are violated, amen, that's a whole nother subject. If someone violates you against your will, someone takes you against your will, then you must cry out. You must cry out. Hallelujah. You must get help. You must go to someone you can trust, amen, and someone who will hear, amen. You must go to the authorities, and you must make it known. You must not continue to allow yourself to be violated and abused in this life. Bless you, Jesus. I don't know where that came from, but I thank God, amen, for it, and I speak it, amen, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone, for the day of my burial, bless you, Jesus, the day of my burial has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, I've said this again, and I've said it once, and I'll say it again. When the Lord says something, when the Lord speaks a thing, that becomes what it is. Amen. The Lord is the one who speaks those things that are not as though they are. And when the Lord speaks a thing, it becomes so. Amen. If it wasn't so before he spoke it, it indeed is so. Amen. After he speaks it. Amen. For did not indeed the Lord our God, is not he the Word, capital WORD. Amen. The Word of God. Amen. And God is so awesome. God is so powerful that we are the only thing he put his hands on when he made us. Hallelujah. We are the only thing that he scooped down the dust of the earth and shaped us and made us who we are. We are the only ones that he took and went into the rib. Amen. Of Adam and made the woman. Amen. Everything else in all his creation, God simply spoke. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God spoke it and it became what it is. Everything you behold, everything you see in this world and in the universe, amen, and the things that are present, things that are to come, and things that were, everything you behold, amen, God indeed spoke into existence. The mountain, the sea, amen, the earth, amen, and the fullness thereof, God spoke into being. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. And so another thing too, it's my point here is that when the Lord said the poor you will always have with you, guess what? There's going to always be poor folk around. Amen. There's going to always be the poor. And you can run off and join all of these campaigns, amen, to eradicate poverty in the world. But listen, it's not going to change a thing, because God said, indeed, the poor you will always have with you. There's going to always be the poor. Amen. And we ought always have a heart, amen, to take care of the poor. Amen. The Lord wasn't callous toward the poor. He was simply letting us know that they're going to be with us always. Amen. And indeed, God's heart is toward the poor. And God expects us, amen, in the spirit of charity, in the spirit of benevolence, spirit of love, amen, to, amen, to feed the poor, to shelter the poor, amen, to clothe the poor, amen, to minister unto the poor, amen, hallelujah. But this idea of you're going to eradicate poverty in the world, no. Another thing too, and this is a little bit deeper today, amen, and I won't have time to build upon it. Maybe we can talk about it later on, but there is a spirit of poverty. There's a spirit of poverty. Hallelujah. And that spirit of poverty, when it is, and when someone is cursed with that, and someone that has that spirit of poverty, I don't care if you give them $1 million, amen. In 3 months, they're going to be broke, amen, because they have that spirit of poverty, amen. And that money is going to burn their pockets, going to burn them until they have consumed it all. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't believe me? You ask the scripture. Amen. Does it not say a fool and his money soon go separate ways? And I'm certainly not calling all people in poverty and all poor people fools. Amen. But I'm just saying unto you that if you do act foolish, and if you continue to act a fool with what God has blessed you with, you will come to poverty. Amen. And if you don't work, you all not even eat. Amen. And so God expects us all to contribute, all to do our best. Hallelujah. But if we fall upon hard times, if indeed we come upon a state in our life, amen, where indeed for whatever reason or another, we find ourselves in poverty, amen. The church, amen, the elect of God should always be there indeed to lift a hand unto the poor. Bless God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I got to move on, amen. I'm really behind time today. I try to keep these segments within an hour in order that you may be able to take and to go out on iTunes, amen, and you ought to be able to go down there and in iTunes or whatever your RSS feed subscription is, be it iTunes or whether it be the other type, and download, amen, download this segment, amen, into your media choice of your preference, amen, so you indeed can partake of it at your convenience, and then so that you indeed also may be able to take and make a CD out of it, download it to a flash drive or whatever your preference is, that you indeed may participate in the outreach, in the witness, in the testimony of the gospel, and give it to someone that you know, someone that you may love, amen, that you may continue, that this word of God may continue to be propagated, to be scattered throughout this world, amen, as is the commandment of our Lord. Bless you today. Hallelujah. So verse 9. Many people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, talking about Jesus, knew that he was there. And they came, talking about Lazarus, amen. They're talking about Lazarus. The word had gotten out about Lazarus, amen. And they really, really hung up on Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing more powerful, even to this day, with all Facebook and internet and smartphones and all this business, there's still nothing more powerful than the grapevine. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The grapevine is still the most powerful form, hallelujah, of communication in the world. And so the grapevine, hallelujah, had gotten word out that indeed that the Lord Jesus had raised Lazarus fully, completely from the grave. And the Jews, having heard this, Jews are always excited. Bless your heart. Amen. I'm not knocking you. Amen, my brothers. Amen. But the Bible says that you're always looking for a miracle, that our Jewish friends are always looking for a miracle. They're big on the miracle thing. Amen. And so this miracle, there's nothing bigger miracle than raising someone from the dead. Amen. And they still alive. They still functioning and living. Amen. As if they had indeed had never died. Amen. And so many people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake. That's scripture. Not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, amen, whom he had raised from the dead. So Lazarus had kind of become like a spectacle. He had kind of become like a celebrity, if you will. Hallelujah. And that folk come from mile around, amen, to look, amen, to see Lazarus, amen, amen. But the chief priests, the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Lord God, hallelujah, amen, amen. Because by reason of him, listen at this, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This mighty miracle, amen, served as a tool in the Lord's hand, amen, to draw, hallelujah, amen, souls unto him. Amen. And it wasn't the most complete, amen, way, but it is a tool. Amen. Miracles today are still a tool. You remember in the book of Acts, when the apostles, indeed, they performed miracles as well. And these signs and these wonders, these miracles serve to be a powerful witnessing tool and a powerful testimony that drew men and women unto them, amen, and caused them to hear that gospel message, because the gospel message still had to be preached, amen. It was a powerful witnessing tool at that time. It's a powerful tool to draw the souls of men unto the Lord. And the Lord indeed utilized that, and Lazarus became a focal point, amen, of this great miracle, amen. But look, it also caused Lazarus to have a bounty on his head. My. You have to be careful, hallelujah. What's the moral of this, my brothers and my sisters? That you have to be mindful, you have to be careful. And the Lord is using you, amen. The Lord may use you in such a way, amen, that draws, amen, attention, amen, on you, amen, and it draws tension, the attention of the devil, amen. And I think the book of Job is a powerful testimony, is that in essence, the book of Job, when God started bragging on Job, hallelujah, then look at all the things that started happening with Job as a result of God literally bragging on him. So, hallelujah, you might want to be careful, amen. It may be what you're going through today, hallelujah. Amen. So be it. Hallelujah. Even so. Amen. Let it be, Lord God. Have your way. Amen. Even so, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So, hallelujah. So just, my brothers and sisters, just consider that no matter what you may be going through today, no matter what the trials or tribulations you may be going through, the persecution you may be suffering, amen. If you have indeed been faithful to God, if indeed you have been true unto him, amen, amen. You may be in that situation yourself where it just may be possible, hallelujah, that God is bragging on you. Ah, glory to your name, Lord Jesus. We got to run on. I got to get out of here. Hallelujah. On the next day, verse 12, many people that will come to the feast of Passover, amen, 6 days. We got 6 days, amen. Now we're down to 5 days, amen. So 5 days before the Passover, the next day, many that will come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, hallelujah, glory to your name, hallelujah, here we go, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King, capital K, of Israel, hallelujah, that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, he sat upon it, as it is written, hallelujah, according to scripture, amen. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Glory. And to the letter, amen, to the jot, to the tittle, amen. Our Lord, if you notice in this chapter here, how he is starting to rapid fire fill the prophecies, amen, concerning him in the Old Testament, hallelujah. And that's a powerful thing, amen, amen. Again, don't have a whole lot of time to expound that, but just a reminder, amen, that these 66 books in the Bible were canonized by men of God. They were called by God. They were preordained by God. I know we like to talk about King James, and we like to mock him, call him King Jimmy and all that, but God used him too, just like he used Nebuchadnezzar, just like he used Cyrus and Darius, amen, to do his will, amen. He put it upon King James' heart, amen, to go and to have these books, to go and to have the Holy Writ, amen, translated in from Hebrew and Greek into into English, amen. And so these men, these scholars, these men of God, did that on that mission, amen, because they were inspired by God to do it as well, amen. And so they looked in the Apocrypha, looked in the 100 and something books in the Apocrypha, and they dug through it, but they only lifted out the ones that were in that gave testimony, amen, unto our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Because the whole theme of the Bible, the central theme of the Bible, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so every one of these 66 books in the Bible, somewhere in them is a sign, amen. Somewhere in them is a testimony. Somewhere in them is a prophecy. Somewhere in them is something, amen, that points to our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So that is their great significance. That is their importance, amen, is that these 66 books, amen, they all testify, amen, of Jesus Christ. And we see these prophets, we see these testimonies, these prophecies now being fulfilled in rapid fire succession by the Lord, because he's on his way to his destiny. He's on his way to Calvary, amen, amen. And so the testimony, verse 16, is these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remember they that these things were written of him, hallelujah, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that were with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bore witness. Glory to God. They bore witness. Amen. Hallelujah. For this cause, the people who met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle. Hallelujah. In other words, that's why the people was there. That's why these multitudes, when they saw Jesus, began to spread the palm branches and began to cry out, amen, for who else can do such a great miracle? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The Pharisees, verse 19, therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Man, I tell you, religious folk, they always get jealous of the Lord. Amen. Religious folks are always, hallelujah, they always trying, amen, to cover their own little spot, their own little position, their own little prominence, amen, their own little kingdom and stardom in the world. My. Have mercy, Lord. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, who was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. But Jesus had other plans. Jesus had other agendas. Jesus wasn't in the mood, amen, to entertain company at this point. Jesus was focused, hallelujah, amen. Because in verse 23, it says, Jesus answered them saying, he didn't even address their statement, amen. He answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. My. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. My. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. You hear that? Hallelujah. It's in the red here. If you haven't told about your Bible, amen, it's in the red. Our Lord is speaking. This is him saying, amen. In verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, this is a promise, y'all, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Amen. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Oh, glory to your name, Lord God. Ah, glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There's no need to interpret all this. You don't need to expound all of this. Amen. The Lord is speaking straightforward. Hallelujah. He is crying out. Amen. He is indeed pouring his heart out. Amen. In this very hour. In verse 28, it said, Father, glorify thy name. Hallelujah. And that ought always be our prayer. That ought always be the cry of the elect of God. Hallelujah. Ought always be the cry of his saints. It ought always be the cry of the church of God. Hallelujah. To Father, glorify your name. Hallelujah. Listen at this. This is powerful. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, this is the God, the Father speaking right now, y'all. Then came there a voice. I wish I had one of them James Earl Jones type voices. I would lay it on, y'all, or rig the sound up and, you know, make it sound like thunder and all that. But I'm not doing all that. We're just going to read it. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Hallelujah. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, it wouldn't do me any good to rig the sound and fix up the audio and do all the little dramatics and all of that. Because, hallelujah, if you don't have an ear to hear the voice of God, you too are just going to think it rattle of thunder or some rattle out the sky. Amen. And it's such a destitute thing. It's such a sad thing. Hallelujah. That God himself can speak in his house. God himself can speak among his people. God himself, amen, can come down and speak and declare a thing. And men, because of the dullness of their hearing and the hardening of their heart, amen, aren't able to hear the voice of God. And we've been saying this over and over and over again, and we'll continue to say unto you, amen, unceasingly, is that you, my brothers, we, my brothers and sisters, we must hear and know the voice of God for ourselves. Hallelujah. Amen. And others said, verse 29, amen, an angel spoke to him. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, But it came, but for your sakes. My, my, God is so merciful. Hallelujah. God is so gracious. Amen. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Hallelujah. Ha. Listen at that. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, glory to God, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to your name, Lord God. Oh, bless you. Bless you, Lord God. He had to do it, Lord God. He had to do it. He had to do it, y'all, God. Y'all, he had to do it. Bless your name, Lord. Oh, bless you, Lord God. He had to do it. It is how he glorified our Father. He had to glorify him in the same way that others have been glorified them through the ages in their life. And pouring out their life for the testimony of the Lord. Amen. And the Lord our God have come, amen, to give himself, amen, to glorify our Father. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Thank you. This he says, signifying what death he should die. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Amen. 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 The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Now see, folks get real religious on you. Yeah. And folks, amen, will run and they will grab a scripture on you in a minute. Hallelujah. When things start to confront them that they're not able to bear. Hallelujah. When things get a little tough for the religious man, it's a little tough for the devil too. He will turn and run to some word, amen. He will grab a text, amen, in a minute and try to throw it up, amen, to shield himself from truth. Hallelujah. But what they don't know is truth incarnate is standing before them. Hallelujah. Amen. And so in verse 35, then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you." Here we go with this light thing we were talking about earlier. "Yet a little while is the light with you. While walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth." Oh, glory. Hallelujah. "While you have light, believe in the light," hallelujah, "that you may be the children of light." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, my. You see, this is what happens when you come stepping up to Jesus, messing with Jesus. The Lord, he's not to be messed with. The Lord will look deep down in your soul, and the Lord will speak, hallelujah, and lift the very issue in your life up before you, amen. He'll pull it out of your chest and lift it up, amen, that you and he and everybody else may see, amen, hallelujah. Here he's saying, "I am the light." I am the light, amen. And you ought to see the light, amen, while he's in the world. Hallelujah. But the problem is what he said over in John, the third chapter in the 18th and 19th verse, is that men love darkness rather than light. Amen. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Amen. And so a man would rather walk in darkness. Amen. He would rather walk in the dark, that he may do his dirt, that he may do his thievery, may do his bribe and extortion, may do all of his lust and do all his fornication and all the stupid, dumb, evil things, wicked things in the world. Amen. Men tend to migrate to before they migrate to the light. Hallelujah. So Jesus is warning them, rebuking them. Amen. Walk while you have the light. Amen. Hallelujah. Lest darkness come upon you. Amen. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. Amen. While you have light, believe in the light, amen, that you may be the children of light. Hallelujah. Are you the children of light? Are you a child of light? Amen. Are you a son of the light today? Are you? Amen. Amen. Is your light shining today? Amen. Hallelujah. Or have you hid it under a bushel? Verse 36b, these things spoke Jesus and departed. Amen. And did hide himself from this. Jesus at this time, y'all, he's having his own crisis of belief, if you will, as Henry Blackaby said. He's having his own, amen, troubles. He's having his own issues that he's having to deal with. The man side of him is wrestling with this idea, amen, that he's about to go to Calvary, amen. That he is willingly about to lay down his life, amen. Don't think for a moment that Jesus went skipping and hopping up into Calvary. No. He wrestled with this decision. It was heavy on his heart. Amen. And so, hallelujah. Amen. And so, but yet our Lord still took the time, amen, to minister to them. Hallelujah. Amen. But then our Lord, finally, he had to withdraw himself, man. He had to go and deal with that which is before him to prepare himself. But though he had done so many miracles, verse 37, before them, yet they believe not on him. My. Yet they believe not on him. Verse 38, and here we go with the fulfilling of scripture again, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. My. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Listen. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. My. Doesn't that sound familiar? Hallelujah. Lest, for fear of, or because of, or because they liable to, man, that they should be put out of the synagogue. My. How many folks today are doing things and putting up with things in the church? My. Are putting up with things in the church, knowing things are wrong, knowing that things ought not be, but yet because they fear being put out of the church, being ostracized in the church and by the church, amen, that they keep their mouth shut. Amen. That they hold a peace, that they compromise with truth, compromise with what is right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Lest they too should be put out of the church. Amen. For they love. Is this a problem today? Is this a problem today? Examine yourself now. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Oh, what a condition. What a condition of the heart of man. Amen. That man is so vain that he would love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Oh, Lord God. God forbid. Have mercy, Jesus. Verse 44. Jesus cried out and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me. Don't look at me, Jesus is saying, but on him that sent me. Hallelujah. Talk about the Father. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Hallelujah. Amen. What a powerful testimony. Here he goes again in verse 46. I am come a light into the world. When, who is he illuminating? Who is he revealing? See, this matter of light is not just flip a switch, turn on a light, light a candle, turn on a light, and then you expel darkness. Yes, that is one context of this matter of light. But the other context of light, the other side of this idea of light, and the other, is that the Lord is bringing knowledge, revelation knowledge, amen, of God, revelation knowledge of the things of God, and revealing the mysteries of God, amen, among the children of men, amen. Amen. He is illuminating their thought and their mind. Amen. He is lifting them to a new understanding and a new level of being. Amen. He is that light. He is that knowledge. He is that wisdom. He is that understanding. Amen. That reveals and speaks the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so the Lord says, I am come a light, amen. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Amen. Amen. Can we just admonish you today? Can we just exhort you today? Come out of that darkness. Amen. Come out, amen, of that darkness wherever you are. Come out of the darkness of religiosity. Come out of the darkness of business as usual. Come out of the darkness of sin. Come out of the darkness of pride. Come out of the darkness, amen, of that which stands between you and your fellowship and your even relationship with God if you don't know him today. Hallelujah. Nothing in this world is more important, amen, than your relationship and fellowship with God Almighty. Hallelujah. Amen. And God have gone through a whole lot of trouble. Amen. He have gone through a whole lot of trouble. He's even sent his best. He sent his son, amen, into this world, amen, to be a light, to reveal himself, amen, to speak of him, amen, that you may know and understand that whoever will stand before God, amen, be it at the judgment seat of Christ, or be it at the great white throne of judgment, amen, will be without excuse, will be without excuse. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, saith the Lord. Amen. For I come not to judge. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That was his mission. That in his first advent, his first charge, amen, was come. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He came, amen, to draw men unto God. He came not this time to judge that we're looking at now, but that he may be that light, amen, that would draw all men to God, to be a witness and testimony of God, amen, to be, hallelujah, that prophet, amen, to be that anointed one, amen, that will come, amen, demonstrating the love of God and the truth of God, amen, and the grace of God, amen, without measure. Bless you, Jesus, amen. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him, the word that I have spoken. My. Man, that's the power. That's the conundrum. Amen. That in all of this, that the words that the Lord speak, once he releases them into the world, once he says them, and once you hear them, amen, then you become responsible. You have fallen into judgment, not condemnation, but to judgment if you do not respond to them and be converted. Hallelujah. And that's the danger of the 11 o'clock hour in all the houses of God, is that if you come bopping up in there for this or for that, amen, and you fall under that anointed word of God, amen, and hear that word of God fall in your hearing, amen, whether you believe or not, you will be held accountable for it. Bless the Lord today. Bless you today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so he says, the B part of that verse 48, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him, that word, in the last day. My. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say, hallelujah, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. And whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Amen. And so the Lord is saying, listen, I don't say nothing. Amen. Everything I say, it is what the Lord have commanded me to say. I say nothing out of my own will. I say nothing out of my own pleasure. out of my thoughts, but I only say what I hear the Father tell me to say. And that ought to be the way with every preacher, every prophet of God, every servant of the Lord that speaks God's word. We ought not say on, but only what the Lord God gives us to say. Amen. 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 And so this concludes this 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. Again, this concludes, amen, this topic, our topic of the manifestation of the Son of God among the children of men in the world, amen, in the manifestation among men, amen, of the Lord. And the Lord, now the Lord is going to move into what we have entitled the edification, amen, where the Lord takes some time between here and between Calvary, and he begins to minister to and to expound and to bless, amen, his disciples. And that includes you and I that are his, amen. And so we're grateful, amen, for this opportunity again. And we pray indeed that something have been said or done, amen, to bless you this day. Listen, we got to go. Our time is up. We would sure would like to hear from you. God bless you today. Let us hear from you, and God bless you again.
You've been listening to The Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. This program is made possible by the grace of God through the faithfulness of the partners and friends of Lodestar Ministries and the contributions of listeners like you. Roger!